This evening I'd like for us to be looking, have you turned to Philippians chapter 3. You might also find your place at John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. Philippians 3, John 3. Title of my message tonight is Christ, Our Only Boast. Our Only Boast. What do you boast of? Really? Seriously, honestly, what do you boast of? You know, we all have this tendency to be proud, to boast of something. Some people, it's their size and their strength. Young men like to do that. They like to flex their muscles and they like to appear to be very healthy and strong and athletic and all of those things. Some people boast of their intelligence, the way they can reason through things and figure out problems that people have and maybe build or design something. Some people get proud about their spirituality. They feel like, you know, they're kind of the upper echelons of the church or God's people, and everybody looks up to them. They can be kind of boastful about that, proud about that. Some people, it's their popularity. Others, it might be their good works. They're always doing something for somebody. Somebody, it might even be their simplicity. You know that I pastored last down in North Carolina for a little while, and I often heard this phrase, "We're just country folk," they would say. And they were kind of proud of just being country folk, sort of a simple lifestyle, didn't buy things they didn't need and so forth. And it's okay to be that. I'm not putting down that lifestyle at all. But pride over any lifestyle is not good. Pride is not good. It could be over ignorance. I had a couple of guys before, they used to come to me, and quite often they would say, "Well, I'm not too smart." And the next word was a conjunction, "but." And then they would proceed to tell me what I ought to do or what we ought to do to fix this issue that we're before. Well, truth of the matter is, if you're honest, probably there's something that you can be proud about and make your own boast. Two men who had indisputably boastworthy characteristics in the New Testament were the Apostle Paul and John the Baptist. You remember the eulogy that the Lord Jesus gave John the Baptist, how there was not another man like him. I mean, he was a great man. He indeed was a great man. Paul, if you look at chapter 3 of Philippians and verse 4, chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul, even before his salvation, was quite a trophy for the Jewish people. He said here in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day." Circumcised, that would be as prescribed in the law, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 12. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed." So everybody who was there would be circumcised the eighth day. So from birth, everything that should have been done for Paul or to Paul, according to the Jewish law, was done. He said, "I'm of the stock of Israel." He was a descendant of Abraham, not just a proselyte or not just coming into the Jewish religion. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the second son of Rachel, one of the two faithful tribes for over 100 years. After the northern tribe went into captivity, it was Judah and Benjamin. Paul was from Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, born to Hebrew parents. He spoke the language. He kept the custom, lived in the culture, and that was his life. As touching the law, well, you couldn't get any better than Paul. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the conservatives of Judaism. They were careful to maintain the works of the law, and then they would call those works their righteousness. So they were self-righteous. Not a good thing, but as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Zeal was and is still viewed as a great spiritual virtue, zeal for the Lord, the right thing. Paul's goal was to eliminate anything that opposed his beloved Judaism. And so he sincerely thought by killing Christians he was doing God a favor, but it was religious zeal that did it. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I'm blameless. Nobody could accuse him of doing anything contrary to what he preached and what he believed. He lived, his walk and his talk were the same. He was not an Old Testament believer. He's not to be compared with Moses in this state. He was a lost, proud legalist before he came to know Christ there in Acts chapter 9. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the most popular preacher in Jerusalem. In John chapter 3, you can turn there, and I'll be with you here in just a minute. Let me read first. Don't turn to this one. This one's in Mark chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So he was a very popular... Everybody went out to see John. Most popular preacher in town. He attracted the attentions of kings and priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of the people there, as well as the commoners there in and around Judea. It says in chapter 3 of John, in verse 26... And they, he's talking about John's disciples, came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Do you hear the jealousy in their voice? They were jealous of John. He was surrounded by disciples that were jealous for his popularity, for his greatness among the people. No doubt both men, humanly speaking, were moral men. John was a godly man filled with the Holy Ghost. Both men had much to boast about just from a human perspective. But in spite of their greatness, neither of them did boast of themselves. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we'll just keep flipping back and forth, if you will, Philippians 3, 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, he said, this is in the same context as all that he had just said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Of what did Paul boast? Just Christ. Christ was his only boast. In spite of those things, Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, keeping the law, all of those things, in spite of this, all of those meant nothing to him. His boast, he says here in this context, is Christ. Paul's boast was Christ. Compared to the privileges of knowing Christ, everything that Paul had to boast about, all of those other things, were, as he said, as dung. It's like a bucket of manure, just to be as plain as he's being about it. It was of no value, useless, worthless. How about John? John chapter 3 and verse 30. John could have boasted himself. He was the most popular preacher in Jerusalem. But he said in verse 30, chapter 3, John 3, 30, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Of whom did John boast? Of Jesus. Only of Jesus. How about you? Now, it's Wednesday night. I'm tired. You're tired. It's been a busy week, but I really want you to think about that. Of whom do you boast? Are you proud of the Lord Jesus? Do you boast of the Lord Jesus? Or is your boast mostly you? Because of something you can do, something that you know, some position that you hold, some popularity because of your money, because of your intellect, because of your popularity. What is it that is your boast? Of whom do you boast? Can you say, Pastor, Christ is my only boast? Probably not. Probably not, at least not all the time. Sometimes we sort of get our little selfish streak, our little proud streak, don't we? Christ should be, Christ our only boast. Why? Well, there's good reason for it. I'm going to have you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we'll see why. These words from Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul was, he was the apostle. The writer of scriptures. The missionary to the Roman Empire, the Gentiles of the Roman Empire. He was a big man spiritually. And he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Wait a minute. Not that. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I labored more abundantly than... Wait a minute. Not me, but the grace of God that was in me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Flip over to Ephesians, because this was a pretty common expression of the Apostle Paul to let people know that he is an apostle because he was called to be one. He was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, chapter 3 of Ephesians, Ephesians 3, 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I won't have you turn, but listen to this. This is Paul again writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am, can you tell me? Chief. I'm the top sinner. He meant that. He killed Christians. He was against Christ. He was against the church. He was the church's opposition, their enemy in the beginning. He meant what he said. And he said, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. John the Baptist taught the same thing. John chapter 3, verse 27. John chapter 3 and verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before Him. Do you see this same spirit in John that we just read in Paul? I am what I am because God called me, God empowered me, God gave me the opportunity, and I'm His servant. So why? Why is Christ our only boast? Because everything about you that is good is yours because of Him. Everything. Everything that's good about you, it's because of Him. Think of the person that you would say, you know, they're in the bottom rung of the social ladder. Someone might refer to them as the low life. I want to be very careful. Everybody has that description of individuals above and below them in the social realms. You may not talk about it because you know it's not good, but just picture in your mind that person. Maybe they're not as clean as you are. They're not as affluent as you are. They don't have as nice a home or cars. They're not as smart as you are about life and living. And you say that, you know, Pastor, I don't want to talk about that, but that would be probably the lower end of the social spectrum. What makes you different from that individual? What makes you say, well, I've got more money. Where'd it come from? Well, my IQ, Pastor, my IQ is a little, where'd it come from? I have nice things. Yeah, I like to be clean. Where'd your nice things come from? What makes a difference from the individual that we described and us? For who maketh thee to differ from another? The Bible asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Answer, nothing. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you take the same thing that's true in the physical world, the same is also true in the spiritual world. Everything we are or have, God did it for us. God gave it to us. The difference between me and the low life is the advantage that God has bestowed upon me. It's God. And in his eyes, there is no difference between me and the low life, the lower echelon, the other end of the scale. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the advantage is what God bestowed upon me. The difference is what Jesus does. If any man be in a Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Jesus made us over again. He recreated us. He gave us life because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. There's no way you and I can boast of anything that we are or anything that we have. Christ is our boast. The reason we have what we have, the reason we are what we are, is because of Christ. How can you make your boast of Christ? How do you go about that? If you say, Pastor, I sense this. I'm sometimes proud. I want my boast to be of Christ. How can I do it? You can do it by showing the world that He is worthy of your very best. You can live like Christ is worthy of your very best. Now, this is practical. This is not deep or hard. Listen, we're all proud. Lay aside the pride. What you are, He gave it to you. Nothing to be proud about. How can you make Him your boast? You live like He deserves every minute of your time, every dollar in your bank account, everything that you own, everything that you are. He can use it any way He wants to. Paul was like that. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. What course, Paul? Well, I kept the faith. I preached the faith. I went to the people that God wanted me, that the Lord led me to, and I delivered the message. I did everything for Him. He's my Lord. He's my boast. If I boast of anything, I'll have to boast of Jesus Christ. Even from jail, John the Baptist had nothing but his mission to prepare the way for Christ on his mind. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, I'll read verses 2 and 3. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? How did this end for John? Do you recall? He was beheaded. He was a thorn in the crawl. He was a problem for King Herod, right? When John had heard in prison the work of the Lord, he sent two of his disciples, because all that was important to him was he got the job done that he was put on earth to do. That's all he wanted to do, is make sure he was right. How about you? How about you? Have you given your best to the Lord? Have you given Him your all? It's hard, isn't it? No, you start talking about giving your... really? All? I used to think like this. You know, it would be easier if the Lord would just take it all. Because if I have to keep it and give it all to Him, I struggle with it every day. The things that I have and my own proud thoughts at times. You struggle with them every day. If He just took them away, the Lord, take them, they're yours. If we could be martyrs and burn at the stake, we think, well, it would be easier then. But now I have to live. No, you have to die daily to yourself. You have to live for Him every day. Okay, Lord, I'm up. Good morning. What would you like for me to do for you today? How about you? The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Christ, you know the rest, might have preeminence. That He might have preeminence. What's preeminence? First place. It's what God wants. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all the other things, He'll take care of it. They'll be added unto you, He said. Do you know this song? Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor, your passion, into the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give of your best to the Master. Listen, naught else is worthy His name. Give of your best to the Master. Nothing else is worthy His name or His love. He gave Himself for your ransom. Gave up His glory above. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Thirdly, when should we boast of Christ? The answer is, it's our privilege to know Him now. I think too often we talk about salvation like it's future. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to spend eternity? Well, salvation's not just about eternity. Salvation's about right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you're dead spiritually in your trespasses and sins. And you say to yourself, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother you because you don't realize what dead means. Separated from God forever. Hopeless. You say, still doesn't bother me. Because God pours out His grace on the saved and the unsaved. It rains on your turf just like it rains on mine. Good things and bad things happen to people. And you just can't imagine what you're missing out on. To know God personally, the God who lends us breath, the God who gives us food, the God who takes care of us, He heals our body when it's healed. It's God. to know him personally. You know, and if he didn't do all of the things he does, it would still be grand to know him personally, to know God, to bow your head and talk to the Creator God, and to have a relationship with him that just makes the importance of the things upon this earth just wane away compared to his worthy cause for our life and for eternity. To know God now. You can know him now. You can have a personal relationship. You can share him with others. And you can make your boast of him both now and forever. Don't wait till you get to heaven to worship the Lord. Paul is our example. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's boast of Christ was now, that I might know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Sounds like he's got a one-track mind, doesn't he? To know Christ. His life was all about Christ. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Save, Paul? Save. What do you mean? Save them from their sins. Introduce them to the Savior. Make disciples of them, he would say. He was all about Christ now. John the Baptist's boast of Christ was also now in chapter 1 of John in verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, he said. Verse 23, back up to verse 23, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Paul and John made their boast of the Lord while they walked on the earth. He was their all. Jesus is all the world to me, they would say. How about you? Well, kinda, but there are other things. You know, I'm kind of in the prime of my life, or I'm in the beginning of my golden years, or I'm this or I'm that, and I got some things I want to do while I'm... Well, wait a minute. How about you? Are you ready to boast of Christ now? And this is life eternal, that ye might know that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We know him now. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to them that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you, and do it with meekness and fear. We know him now, we share him with others now, and we can make our boast of Christ right now. I would like for you to think of every blessing at Corinth Baptist Church as coming from the Lord. Right? From the Lord. From our Lord. Let's make our boast of Christ, not of us, not of preachers or deacons or teachers or congregation. Let's make our boast of the Lord. You know, we... Cherished relationships are obvious. They're visible, right? If we want to make our boast of the Lord now, then people will have to see our relationship with him and see how we cherish it. It's true even on this horizontal plane. It seems obvious to others that we feel honored in that person's presence. When we sit and eat, he or she gets the choicest morsels. When we sit together, he or she gets the best seat. When we engage in conversation, we eagerly listen to what he or she has to say. And if they have a cause, we take that cause up ourselves. It becomes near and dear to our own heart. It's a cherished relationship. Well, if your relationship to Jesus Christ is cherished, people will notice. They will. They will notice. Christ our only boast. Why? Because all that we are and all that we have came from Him. The key to finding real purpose in life is to understand that there is no real purpose in life apart from Christ. I used to would say that more silently. I don't want to offend. But the key to the purpose in life is finding out and understanding there is no purpose for life except for Christ. Would you agree? Well, how, Pastor? Well, show the world that He is worthy of your very best. Yea, your all. Give it all to Him. If you don't see it that way, then you're an idolater. You've put something else ahead of Christ. He's worthy of all. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. When? Now. Now. It's our privilege to know Him now. It's our privilege to share Him with others now. And it is our privilege to boast of Him now. And He's worthy. Simple question. Do you, brother or sister, feel privileged to know Jesus Christ personally now? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for these thoughts. And Lord, I pray for myself that my boast might be of You, my Savior, my life in Christ. And Lord, help my brothers and sisters as well, that we might really draw near to You. Lord, we're so privileged. Father, we love You. We love You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.